You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Air Zelle are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science Magazine, a presentation of Air Zelle. This week's articles include, at 1 minute, Roman emperors once banned men from having long hair. At 4 minutes, 28 seconds, what happens if you eat too many gummy vitamins? And finally, at 12 minutes, 43 seconds, super weird object may be space's first confirmed exomoon. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Science Archaeology section and is entitled, Roman Emperors Once Banned Men from Having Long Hair, written by Andrew Paul, published July 23, 2026. The reasoning was barbaric. This article begins with a photo. The ruins of the ancient city of Apamea are seen in the Hama countryside, Syria, on July 8, 2026. Its caption reads, The law banning Germanic fashions came 6 years after Visigoths sacked Rome. Fashion isn't always an attempt to stay stylish. Throughout history, clothing and personal appearance have reflected social status, political alignments, sexuality, and more. But because of this symbolism, these simple but effective means of expression can also generate resistance from people in power. As far back as 416 CE, the Roman emperors Honorius and Theodosius II tried reining in a rising trend they deemed unfit for their male citizens, long hair. This maioris crinis, long locks law, probably wasn't enacted purely due to their aesthetic preferences. As historian Javier Arce recently argued in his study published in the journal Pyrene, the Roman government linked together hair on men with a growing barbarian problem. This issue wasn't an influx of Germanic residents, Franks and Goths, however. It was that their personal grooming styles were beginning to rub off on Romans, and it was humiliating to the Roman elite. Ancient Rome often relied on lex vestiaria, laws controlling apparel options and personal grooming, as means to maintain social order. During the empire's later years, rulers regulated dress according to societal rank, allowing for the quick identification of enslaved people. Other examples included banning senators from wearing military items, as well as the restriction of fashions typically associated with outside cultures. According to Arce, the timing of Honorius's and Theodosius II's long locks law was anything but random. The order arrived not long after the Visigoth king Alaric captured and sacked Rome in 410 CE. 6 years later, Germanic attire and hairstyles had become popular enough that the empire's rulers worried about a Germanization of their subjects, which might weaken their grasp on power. In addition to mandating short hair, Rome also forbade clothing made with animal skins, even for enslaved people, another fashion associated with Germanic enemies. So, were these attempts to suppress non-Roman cultural influences ultimately successful? In the end, it wouldn't matter one way or the other. By 476 CE, the Western Roman Empire had effectively collapsed, ceding military and economic power to the very barbarians whose fashions the ruling class hoped to stifle. This next article is from the Science Ask Us Anything section and is entitled, What Happens If You Eat Too Many Gummy Vitamins? Written by Kat Rainsford, published July 23, 2026. Don't overdose on iron or vitamin D. This article begins with a photo. A close-up of assorted red and orange gummy vitamins spilled from a transparent bottle on white background. Its caption reads, They're awfully yummy, but are they good for you? Gummy vitamins taste like candy and make you healthier, right? What's not to like? The global market for vitamin gummies has exploded in recent years, valued at nearly $9 billion in 2025 and predicted to double by 2033. Nearly a quarter of that consumption is in the United States. Driving this boom is the idea that these chewable vitamins are a convenient, tasty way of improving general health, helped, as often happens, by some savvy marketing campaigns. But is there a dark side to these squishy health boosters? America's Poison Center's National Helpline receives more than 60,000 calls about possible vitamin poisoning each year, mostly from parents alarmed after their children have accidentally gorged on the chewy sweets. Are they right to be worried? Dr. Kate Brown, Clinical Managing Director at America's Poison Centers, is keen to reassure anyone scared they can overdose on gummy vitamins. Quote, "It's very rare that kids are having symptoms when the Poison Center is contacted about multivitamins," unquote, she says. Quote, "There is a margin of safety with all of them," unquote. Iron in gummy vitamins can pose real risks. The main exception when it comes to acute poisoning risk from multivitamins, she explains, is iron. Although iron boosts hemoglobin that helps blood carry oxygen around the body, it can also be corrosive to the stomach tract in high doses, causing nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. If any parents see these symptoms in their children after consuming products containing iron, she urges them to call the Poison Center helpline immediately at 1-800-222-1222. Quote, "We can often get these kids the treatment they need in a timely fashion so they don't progress to the later stage of iron toxicity," unquote, she says. This severe poisoning is known as metabolic acidosis. Quote, "It changes the way your organs function so you have potential multi-organ failure. It's fatal if untreated," unquote. In the 1980s, she says, deaths from iron poisoning were much more common. Nowadays, however, they're extremely rare. This is partly thanks to stricter regulation requiring child-resistant packaging for products containing iron. Many multivitamins also now leave out iron altogether. But although the risk of immediate overdose from most vitamin supplements is very low, they can carry more insidious risks. Quote, "Where we mostly run into concerns with vitamin toxicity from multivitamins is chronic overuse," unquote, Dr. Brown says. Why you need to pay attention to fat-soluble versus water-soluble vitamins. There are two main types of vitamins. Fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K, and water-soluble vitamins such as B and C. Quote, "Some vitamins are taken more into the tissues and bones of our bodies. Those are the fat-soluble ones," unquote, Dr. Brown explains. Quote, "Water-soluble ones aren't really taken up in that way and are more likely to be just flushed out of the system," unquote. In other words, if you consume too many water-soluble vitamins, you'll probably just pee them out. More care, on the other hand, should be taken with fat-soluble vitamins. As these are stored in our tissues, there is a greater risk that excess consumption can build up in the body over time. Vitamin D, for instance, is essential for absorbing calcium and phosphorus, giving us healthy teeth and bones. But if taken to excess, vitamin D can cause calcium to build up in the blood. Early symptoms of this include weakness and vomiting. In extreme cases, overconsumption of vitamin D can even affect heart and brain function. Also be aware of vitamin A. Vitamin A is another leading culprit of chronic vitamin toxicity. Quote, "It can cause some liver damage, and there's also things like bone pain and hair loss associated with it over time," unquote, Dr. Brown says. Quote, "But this is only if you're consuming many, many gummy vitamins a day over many days," unquote. In general, she says, there is no reason to fear these squishy supplements, which can be a useful boost to a healthy diet. but it is important to familiarize yourself with the vitamin content of each product. Be aware of recommended daily maximum doses for different age groups, and keep the containers away from children. Quote, they're in a lot of homes, and especially kids under 5 don't necessarily understand the difference between candy and medication, unquote, she says. Quote, it's something they know tastes good, and if they're left alone with the product, they might say, oh, I want a few more of these today, unquote. There is an additional photo. A woman eating delicious superfood salad ingredients with a fork. Its caption reads, what's more important than vitamins? Eating a balanced diet. The importance of holistic health. While the dangers of multivitamins are generally low, dietitian and gut health expert Dr. Emily Leeming warns against relying on them for a healthy diet. Quote, I think there is a place to have a multivitamin for certain people who are struggling to get that from food alone, unquote, she says. Quote, but we need to be a bit more cautious about thinking that taking supplements is an easy fail-safe. We don't want to be doubling up where we don't need to be, unquote. She points out that many gummy vitamins are loaded with sugar or with sugar alcohols that can cause bloating in high doses. Moreover, topping off on certain vitamins is no substitute for a healthy, balanced diet. Quote, most of these multivitamins might contain a range from 5 to 30 different nutrients and micronutrients, unquote, she says. But food contains 26,000 biochemicals that play many different roles in the body. Quote, so by eating the whole food source, there are so many other benefits that are coming with that besides that one nutrient we're trying to get more of, unquote. The final concern is cost, with some high-end formulas costing as much as $30 per bottle. The FDA doesn't regulate the supplement market in the same way it does for medicines, making it difficult to know whether the health claims of more niche products are based on real evidence. Quote, don't feel like you've got to get sucked into some powerful marketing and need to spend on expensive products, unquote, Dr. Leeming says. Quote, if you want to make changes for your health, first try and spend that money on making and eating healthy food, unquote. This final article is from the Science, Space, Deep Space, Exoplanets section and is entitled, Super Weird Object May Be Space's First Confirmed Exomoon, written by Andrew Paul, published July 22, 2026. The object about 72 light-years away from Earth could be the first satellite discovered outside our solar system. This article begins with a photo. Its caption reads, this illustration shows the system around the star CD352722 with the newly found moon-like object at the center. Broadly speaking, our solar system is simply a collection of planets, their moons, and other cosmic objects like asteroids existing in gravitational orbits around the Sun. There are countless systems out there like it, too, but one stellar system about 72 light-years from Earth isn't quite like anything else researchers have ever seen. In fact, astronomer Kevin Hoy would go so far as to describe CD352722 as super weird compared to our corner of the galaxy. Quote, the system is somewhat hard to define using solar system-based words like planet and moon. The astronomer from Chile's Universidad Diego Portales and the Millennium Nucleus of Young Exoplanets and Their Moons, YEMS, recently said in a statement. The system is detailed in a study co-authored by Hoy and recently published in the journal Nature. Hoy and colleagues recently aimed the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope, ESO's VLT, at the young oddball system CD352722 that centers on a star about half the mass of the Sun. Orbiting this star is a brown dwarf, which is a type of gas giant that is larger than a planet, yet smaller than a star. In this case, the brown dwarf is about 30 times more massive than Jupiter, but it's not alone. orbiting that object is yet another entity with a mass equivalent to Jupiter itself. Quote, "The exosatellite is clearly massive enough to be a planet, but it does not orbit a star, though it orbits an object that orbits a star," unquote, said Hoy. There is a video entitled, "Have We Discovered an Exomoon?" Its caption reads, "New Exomoon Detection Challenges Cosmic Labels." So, is it a moon or not? Quote, "We have a clear delineation between the planets and the sun in the solar system, so defining things like moons is simple," unquote, added YEMS director and study co-author Alice Zurlow. Quote, "In the CD352722 system, where we are blurring the lines between stars, planets, and moons, the whole thing becomes more complicated to describe," unquote. According to their study, Hoy, Zurlow, and their team suspect their mystery may be an exosatellite or exomoon. These are naturally occurring planetary satellites located outside the solar system. Although researchers have documented over 6,000 exoplanets throughout the cosmos, the handful of exomoon candidates still lack enough evidence to prove their identities. If true, it would be the first of its kind ever confirmed by astronomers. For now, more observations are needed before astronomers can definitively classify the strange entity. But it's also a matter of scientific semantics. Quote, "Being the third wheel in this system makes us want to call it a moon, even if it is nothing like the small rocky moons we have in our system," unquote. Regardless, the latest exomoon suspect marks a major moment in exploring the universe. Quote, "As exotic as it is, this system is truly unique and represents a breakthrough, the first plausible detection of an exosatellite," unquote, said Zurlow. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science Magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.